from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. The Wall Street Journal reported last week that Google taps top university researchers and helps fund their academic papers. This research ultimately influences decision makers and sways public opinion, and in many cases, the sponsorship is not disclosed. Then at 9:30, crime is up on the BART transit system. Here's Police Chief Carlos Rojas.
I'm seeing it throughout the state, crime increasing, and I don't see us being any different.
A series of high-profile incidents, including recently groups of teenagers robbing transit riders, has put a spotlight on crime on BART. But critics say new controversial policies at BART are keeping the public in the dark about crimes on the transit system. It's all coming up on Forum after the news. Welcome to this morning's Forum program. I'm Michael Krasny. It appears from an article in the Wall Street Journal that Google has doled out hundreds of thousands of dollars to researchers who wrote papers supporting the company's market dominance. That's according to the report in the journal, and the Silicon Valley company, according to the journal, funded about 100 papers directly and another 100 indirectly through Google-funded organizations. Not all of the researchers disclosed Google sponsorship, and some sent advanced copies to Google before publishing. Brody Mullins of the Wall Street Journal joins us to discuss the story. And Brody Mullins, welcome to the Forum program. Good to have you aboard.
Thanks for having me.
I guess probably the best place to begin here is by finding out what exactly you discovered here. I mean, there's been obviously attempts by many companies to influence regulations, particularly, and to get papers published that would be on their side or academics on their side. What makes the Google story important in terms of the highlights of it?
What we found is that Google is spending a ton of time and effort to sort of cultivate friends and allies in academia to write academic papers that support the company. You're right that this isn't entirely new. The tobacco industries and the pharmaceutical companies and ag companies got in trouble many decades ago and even more recently for secretly funding medical research and medical studies that showed that cigarette smoking wasn't bad for you or this chemical didn't cause cancer, et cetera. What's new here is that this is sort of spread to the high-tech sector and to intellectual property and antitrust issues, which are handled not at medical schools but at law schools. So as a result of these scandals involving the other industries, the medical community, medical journals and medical schools have created rules for disclosure and rules for how companies are able to donate, but the schools, the researchers can try to shield themselves from allegations of having a conflict of interest. All those issues are really just now being debated in the law school scenario.
Yeah, well, this is the Wild West now when we're talking about Google as opposed to, say, scientific bias or
it
tobacco.
It does seem like the Wild West. There are efforts to create rules and regulations so that readers will know exactly who's paying for the studies. But it is the Wild West right now.
And professors don't often reveal, in this specific case of Google, that their research is being backed by Google. In fact, few have disclosed the financial ties in articles on these topics. That's what you found.
Right. So Google says that when it gives out grants or money to professors that they require disclosure. What we found is that, indeed, lots of professors do disclose the funding, but some don't. Those professors we contacted often said that they had made a mistake and should have disclosed. What we had the benefit of doing is we sent out Freedom of Information requests to a few dozen public universities and found emails between Google and the professors themselves. So the professors could disclose what they wanted in the paper, but then we had the emails going back and forth where they were saying, hey, I'd like to write a paper about this, and, what do you think about that, and, would you be interested in funding this project or the other one? And that we found the chummy relationships between some of the professors and Google we found really interesting.
100 policy papers, according to your article, since 2009. Is that a lot as the crow flies, so to speak?
That's a good question. Because there is no standard disclosure across industries, it's impossible to know. It's in our reporting, it seemed like it was near the top, if not more than anyone else. Now, to be fair, other sectors, other companies in the tech space, you know, do the same thing. We just, in our reporting, seem to show that Google did it more than anyone else.
I'm going to open up the phone lines right now. This is a half-hour segment, and I'd like to hear what some of you have to say about this, because there really is nothing in the way of rules to codify as there has been in the scientific world, in this corporate world. And we're talking about Google searching for willing authors, according to a former employee and a former Google lobbyist. That's in the article that we're discussing here by Brody Mullins and Jack Nikas. Deflecting antitrust accusations against Google by the FTC back in 2012, according to a letter the Google attorney sent to FTC chairman and that was viewed by the Wall Street Journal. We'd like to hear your thoughts about this, and we'd like to hear any questions you might have. And you can join us now at our toll-free number. Let me invite you to do that. The number to call, 866-733-6786. Please feel free to join the program, whether you're listening on radio, internet, or Sirius satellite. You can do that now. Again, 866-733-6786 is the number to call. We invited Google to participate in this program. They declined, but let's invite you to join us. Again, you can also join us with questions or comments by emailing us, forum@kqed.org, or going right to our website, kqed.org/forum, and clicking on the segment, or going to our Facebook page or tweeting us. Our Twitter handle is @KQED Forum. And again, we'd like to hear your thoughts about this. And Brody Mullins, what about Oracle connection in all this? Didn't they, in effect, sort of help promote some of this research that we're talking about?
Yeah, so Google, again, like any other company in Washington, you know, has an agenda that runs up against other companies on some of the tech issues. Oracle is on the other side. The allegation that Google has made after our story came out was that our research was somehow funded or affected by Google, or I'm sorry, by Oracle. That is really not the case. We I can't get into exactly how we do our reporting, but we did our reporting on our own. I mean, I can tell you, I personally sent out the FOIAs to get the emails with professors. We spoke to the professors ourselves. Like, we did the digging. We came up with, we did our own analysis of how many professors had received Google funding. One of the things that I think Professor Kahlo might say, and what Google has said, is that a group out there called the Campaign for Accountability put together a study that reported that something like 300 or 400, I'm really actually not sure, professors have received Google funding. We did not rely on that number. We came up with our own number to get to what we say is hundreds of papers. So, while the criticism of that entity may be right, you know, that they did their own work and we did our own work.
You mentioned Professor Kahlo. We're going to be talking to him shortly. That's Ryan Kahlo, who's a law professor at University of Washington, and while a research fellow at Stanford, back in 2010, he got $400,000 award, and we'll speak with him about that specifically. But let me find out first from you, Brody Mullins, about, like I said, we invited Google, but they declined. Mm-hmm. But Google's Leslie Miller, who directs their public policy, said a lot of the article that we're talking about that you and your colleague did in the Wall Street Journal is misleading. She said it attributes to Google any work that was supported by any organization to which Google belongs or Google has any relationship with or even donated to. And she says Google has supported a lot of research that goes counter to their interests.
I don't know if what she's saying is entirely accurate. I mean, we looked at professors who had received money from Google who wrote papers on the same topics that Google cared about within 2 years. That's sort of how we came up with our total number of papers supported by Google. One of the things that she says that is accurate is that, you know, not all the papers were 100% pro Google.
No, some of them argued against Google's positions. I understand.
Yeah, I mean, most of them certainly seem to be pro Google, which is why the professor received the funding. I mean, one misperception out there is that there's a professor at some university doing work on some unrelated issue, and Google comes in and says, "Hey, how about I pay you, $50,000 for you to write a paper about how great Google is and how we should not be regulated under antitrust law." That's not how things happen. It seems more that Google will sit back and watch and monitor professors and the papers that they write and the stances that they take. They'll find professors who are writing things that Google tends to like, saying that its search its search is not a monopoly, or that it provides products of great value for free to consumers, and it'll go out and the company will go and contact those professors and to help them write more papers along the same lines. So I think that's sort of an accurate description of what happens. And some of those professors, and Google will say to them, look, we're not telling you exactly what to write. In many cases, the professors write papers end up being pro-Google, and in some cases, they don't.
We're talking to Brody Mullins, investigative reporter with The Wall Street Journal, and The Wall Street Journal reported that over the past decade, Google has helped finance hundreds of research papers to defend against regulatory challenges of its market dominance, paying $5,000, really up to $400,000 for the work. That's in Wall Street Journal. Again, welcome your response to this and your thoughts. You can join us toll-free at 866-733-6786 or email us forum@kqed.org. And let's go to a caller. Jen joins us from Berkeley. Jen, you're on.
Hi, thank you. I am a PhD student at Berkeley. I actually am a privacy researcher, and I know a good chunk of the people on that list, and I work with them. And I thought the article was actually pretty unfair in terms of the way it lumped everybody into a single category and the conclusions the author was drawing about trying to kind of make this tie between the tobacco and pharmaceutical industries and the research that a lot of these folks have done. I don't doubt that there could be a couple people, and I think they maybe cherry-picked them in the article to try to support their argument. But in general, I think this shows a pretty distorted way of how research is funded. And coming from a large public research university, I'd make the larger point, which I don't think the authors really touched, which is that we are facing such a severe financial crisis, and we're also looking at one in terms of something like the NSF being defunded. So, in many ways, we're in a situation as researchers where we don't have a lot of sources to fund our research. Especially if we're looking at a budget where the NSF is cut. So in some ways, you're looking at kind of the larger reality of how research might be done in the future. And to that extent, I think that's a dropped conclusion in this article that they could have really worked through a bit more. Why is it that people are taking corporate research money? But I do think it was distorted, and that a lot of the work that they cite is, in fact, not somehow quid pro quo.
Jen, I appreciate your thoughts and your weighing in here. Let me get a response from Brody Mullins. Brody Mullins.
Yeah, those are some good points. I don't think the story was unfair, obviously, because I wrote it. I think what we're trying to show is sort of pull back the curtain and say, hey, this is how it works. And you may not know this, but a lot of companies are funding some of the research that these companies are using to base their lobbying campaigns on Washington. I mean, these are huge issues about privacy and antitrust and others in Washington. And we're just trying to say, here's how the companies are getting support for their lobbying campaigns. The second point,
you're also making a case that there needs to be regulation, aren't you? That there needs to be monitoring and sort of really
monitoring
overseeing, like there is in the scientific bias area.
I certainly think there should be more and better disclosure.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it seems like Google was saying that, and we're saying that, and we found cases where there was not disclosure and. Again, the people we spoke to said that those were mistakes. I think the broader point, though, that you're making about why this is the case is a fascinating one. I really wish we had gotten more into that in the story myself, because a lot of the professors who we spoke with said, well, look, here's the reality. The government funding for research is going down. State budgets are being cut. We're not getting the money that we used to get, and therefore we have to go to these these companies. And that's a fascinating and maybe scary point also.
Sequel.
All right. There is a paper put together by a couple of four professors that was published in the Harvard Law Journal last spring, I believe, in which they argued for better rules on disclosure and what are the circumstances in which you can accept corporate funding. Those professors took their paper before it was published and sent out to a listserv of more than 1,000 law school professors asking for their input and asking people to sign on to their recommendations for better disclosure and rules. Some of the professors on that listserv started arguing against the paper. One of them who I spoke with, I thought, made a fascinating point, which is really just that corporations are the future of funding of our research. And if we want to keep doing great research, we're going to have to go to companies. And that's not great, but is that better than not having research at all?
Well, it's what a lot of academics are arguing, as you say.
Yeah, and that's to me, kind of scary. I don't know what the answer to that is. But, you know, it's a great point raised by the caller, and I don't know what the answer is. I don't know what we should be doing about that.
Let me thank the caller and actually bring on another caller, and that's you, George. You're on the air with us. Welcome to Forum.
Thank you so much. I wanted to make a comment. In a way, we are back to the Middle Ages when the local oligarchs or barons funded art, entertainment, and culture. And it's not only Google, of course. I'm certain that many others, Facebook and Apple and the big corporations, are funding things that are presenting them in positive light. But the tragedy of all this, Michael, is that it creates this mistrust into the academia. And there is no wonder that the people come up with denying of global warming and other bizarre anti-vaccine things when the trust in the sanctity and cleanness of scientific research is gone because of these things.
George, I think you make a salient and important point. I think it does erode trust, and I'm glad you brought up that point. And in fact, we're talking, just to remind you, with investigative reporter from the Wall Street Journal, Brody Mullins, who co-authored a piece that was in last week's Wall Street Journal about Google tapping top university researchers and helping fund their academic papers. And this research ultimately does influence decision makers, sways public opinion, isn't always disclosed, and that is essentially the heart of the article. Let me bring Ryan Kahlo into this. He's a law professor at University of Washington, as I said before, while a research fellow at Stanford back in 2010. He got a $400,000 award, and The Wall Street Journal reported that he didn't disclose the funding in one of the two papers he published. Ryan Kahlo, welcome to the program.
Thanks very much, Michael.
Let's talk about, first of all, why you didn't disclose it, $400,000 award.
Well, so I think it's important to understand the choice of words that the Wall Street Journal made. So when they published this paper, they said that they, quote, Google, quote, paid professors, quote, stipends of up to $400,000, right? Now, these folks write for a living. Brody and Jack write for a living. They know what the word stipend means. It means, you know, a regular fixed sum paid as a salary. So it gave the impression to the reader that, and so by the way, sort of the title, that Google was actually paying people money to write papers, right? In my instance, of course, that's not accurate. It's not accurate at all. I mean, you have to say, like, can you imagine that Google would write a check, you know, to some 33-year-old research fellow who's there temporarily for $400,000? I mean, obviously not. What actually happened was that Google gave a research gift to the Stanford for Center for Internet Society, where I worked. I didn't see any of that money as compensation. I didn't even get to control how the money was used. So that's the background of it, and that's my primary complaint with the story, which I thought, you know, actually did in some ways make some great points. Why didn't I disclose? Well, I wrote two papers during that period of time, one of which was an experimental study where I actually went to Stanford Center and I said, look, I need a little bit of money. I need to support a PhD candidate here to work with me on this experimental study, and I need to pay participants in the study. And I got a small amount of money at that time, and it came out of that, I guess, that gift. Stanford ultimately decided where the budget was from. And in that case, Victoria and I did disclose the funding. I then wrote a second paper.
Who's Victoria?
My co-author, Victoria Groom.
Okay.
And I disclosed the Google funding because we used it to support, to pay for the experiment, essentially. Then I wrote another, which is a law review article, where with law review articles, you don't have to actually necessarily spend a lot of money on them. They're just something that you do. You have access to, you know, legal texts and things like that. So in that instance, I wrote a law review article. And in that law review article, I argued essentially that companies ought to be doing better notice, that notice was very poor overall, and that if they did better notice, that would relieve some pressure on the necessity of regulating them. Now, you might imagine Google liked that because Google doesn't want to be regulated. They want to self-regulate or to use disclosure instead of some sort of, hard and fast rules the way we experience in Europe. And so they saw that I was working on that.
So they found you, essentially, is what you're saying.
Yeah? Absolutely. And that's how usually this occurs, right? There are certainly professors out there who receive, actual money in their pocket. That's not me in this instance, right? Well, I am not being paid. Go ahead.
Let me actually go back to Brody Mullins on this. You heard what Ryan Kahlo had to say, Professor Kahlo, about his own experience, and particularly focusing on the word stipend as being incorrect word and maybe incorrect reporting from the article that you co-authored, Brody Mullins?
I don't think that the word was inaccurate, I definitely recognize some of the points that he's making, and that, in fact, that's what I said earlier in the program, that Google finds professors who are writing on topics that are of interest to Google that generally have the pro-Google bent, and then they go out and try to support more research like that. That's exactly what I had said earlier.
Aren't other companies doing this too in their own interest?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, I don't mean to necessarily single out Google here, although, as I said, we invited Google to participate.
Google says that the story unfairly targets Google. We say in the story that Google isn't the only company. There's plenty of other industries who have done the same thing. There are plenty of other companies in the tech sector who have done the same thing. It's just our opinion in our research that Google had the biggest and most sophisticated operation. You can never really know that for sure because, there's not, 100% disclosure across all companies. So we'll never know who funds the most papers or who has the biggest budget.
Well, let me read some comments, listeners weighing in on this. Joe writes, from what I understand, part of Google's agreement for funding required each recipient to disclose the funding source. If that's the case and the recipients did not disclose, it's not Google's problem. Jake writes, these kinds of things should be of no surprise from a company that colluded with other tech companies by way of secret and illegal no-poaching agreements. Google has a history of corrupt and unethical activities. That's how they made it. Meg writes, what does the author think of Google's motto, don't be evil, and how it fits in with this topic? Brody Mullins?
I'm not going to touch that last question.
All right. Well, let me actually read one more Facebook comment from a listener named Noel. It says, I was talking to someone who works for Facebook who coordinates a similar setup. Maybe they aren't in this article because the researchers disclosed funding from Facebook. Brody Mullins?
Well, I think our overall point was to lift the curtain on this whole practice by showing how Google pays professors. The disclosure was a secondary point, which is that Google says that it requires disclosure, and yet we found examples of when there was not disclosure. So the story wasn't fully about whether things were disclosed or whether they weren't. In fact, we spoke with some professors. In fact, there's a professor quoted in that story who says that if you get money from a company, you absolutely have to disclose it. That certainly should be the rule. But even if you disclose it, it doesn't. You still could undermine your own research. The same way the caller from a few minutes ago said that this type of money undermines people's confidence in academic institutions and other institutions, and that's because of the funding, because the money is coming from corporations.
All right, we're going to have to leave it there. I want to thank Brody Mullins, thank Ryan Kahlo, thank you, our listeners. Another segment coming up. The article, again, is called Paying Professors Inside Google's Academic Influence Campaign, appeared in the Wall Street Journal last week. We're going to talk next about BART. Stay with us. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny.